Welcome to the Stephen Mansfield Podcast.
Welcome to the Stephen Mansfield Podcast. Delighted that you're taking some time to hear me out. I know that you're probably sitting there in your home and it's during this coronavirus season and there's just scary news out there and people are dying worldwide. And of course, some of the folks in the media just make it sound like the apocalypse. But I want to say to you, we're going to get through this. There are good days, bright days ahead. I'll tell you quickly, even though it's not my topic for this podcast, that my reading of history is after every great disaster, after every great plague, there was a great flowering of the human spirit. There was a great flowering of literature and innovation and creativity and market activity. And so great things are ahead for us. This is actually going to serve us well in a lot of ways. I know it's hard to say when people are dying and sick and suffering, but that's the historian's task, is to take the broad view. And so I'm saying to you, we will get through this. There are bright days ahead. And how we go through it, how we treat each other, how we reflect, how we discipline ourselves will determine how we rise on the other side. Now, what I want to talk about in this podcast, though, is religion and coronavirus. Because a lot of religious themes are boiling to the surface. Some of them are just make you want to pull your hair out. Some of them are just absolute lies. Some of them are dangerous trends. Really dangerous issues arising. And of course, in the broad sense, religion is one of the great comforts we can have during this time. So let me dive in to this topic of religious themes and coronavirus. First of all, I want to say that And again, I'm speaking strongly as a Christian here, and I'm delighted to have those of you who aren't Christians who listen to this podcast, but I'm speaking strongly as a Christian here to criticize some of my fellow Christians for the way they have responded and the way they have disobeyed even our government and refusing to cancel their church services. There was a pastor who famously, his name is Rodney Howard Brown from Florida, just absolutely refused to cancel his services, even said some things that weren't true about how he maintained social distancing. But when photographs began to circulate on the internet of his actual worship service that day, people were as jammed together and sitting right next to each other, and there was very little social distancing. Nobody was wearing a mask, etc. Now, my point is not to pick on Rodney Howard Brown, but my point is to pick on an unbiblical approach to the authority of the civil government. Ever since the Reformation, Christians have understood that Romans 13 teaches that the state bears the sword, quote unquote, not in vain. That the state bears the sword, and the understanding was that the state, the civil government, has the authority to both punish evildoers and repel invasion. Okay? To punish evildoers and repel invasion. The most important principle coming out of Romans 13 is that the civil government is ordained by God. Now, that doesn't mean that everything the civil government does is true and right and just, but it does mean that you need to take the civil government seriously. A pure libertarian view is not legitimate. Pure anarchy is not a Christian option. So when the civil government, in order to prevent a plague, a pandemic from spreading, even if they're slightly misguided, even if their numbers are somewhat inflated, even if some are choosing not to, quote unquote, waste a crisis and to use the crisis as an opportunity to advance their agenda, we still have the obligation, unless there's a moral compunction not to, we have the obligation to obey. And I believe the government was right in asking churches not to meet. I believe that churches, as I've said in this podcast, should have been ready for such a day. We're talking about a day in which somebody sitting in the front row of a church alone can hold an iPhone up and stream what goes on stage. It's not hard to go online. We should have been training our people to be used to it. We should have been teaching online giving. We should have been prepared for such a thing, not just because of a pandemic, but because of everything from terrorist action to persecution to utility outage to hurricanes and tornadoes and floods. These are things that just happen in this world, and going online is one of the answers the church ought to give. So we need to bear in mind that this is doing nothing but giving a black eye to the body of Christ. It's doing nothing but damaging the name of Christians. Rodney Howard Brown, though he's done some good things in his life, I am sure, has given us a black eye by not only disobeying the civil government, but then accusing the government of being engaged in a conspiracy. Then the man angrily closed his church and went online blaming all of it on the civil government, when all he was asked to do is what hundreds, if not thousands, of other churches have done: go online, keep preaching your gospel, keep raising money, keep doing the good that you do, just do it in a different way for a few weeks. It was not an immoral request. It was not inappropriate. And I will say it boldly, Rodney Howard Brown, I believe, was violating scripture when he refused to comply with the state's request. Now, I'm a guy who's ready to engage in civil disobedience anytime I need to be a follower of Jesus. So don't think that I'm just going wishy-washy on the state. But this was a legitimate request, and his and others' refusal to comply is a violation of Scripture. Now, I'll tell you what wasn't a violation of Scripture was my response to Bill de Blasio saying that not only would he close churches that refuse to comply with his state's order that larger group gatherings not occur, but he said he would then close those churches permanently. He would, quote unquote, permanently close, that was the exact phrase, those institutions of faith long term. Well, I don't know what other problems de Blasio has. Some of my New York friends think he's just as strange as the day is long. But he does not have the authority to close churches permanently. Now, he certainly has the authority to order the closing of larger gatherings when a pandemic is underway. I've already said I support that. But he went further. He then threatened institutions of faith, saying he would close them permanently. He does not have the authority to do that. And that's what causes people like Rodney Howard Brown to get all up in arms, because people like politician de Blasio overstate their authority, make threats, and so you have a toxic brew. There's been a lot of attack on Christians here of late. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. There's been a lot of bold talk by some folks in civil government overstating their authority. But de Blasio needs to get up and apologize for that. And by the way, I haven't called for very many apologies in this podcast, but he needs to get up and apologize for what he has said, that he would permanently close churches. He has the authority, he thinks, to shut down churches that violate the order. He can close them right now. He can lock their doors. He can even arrest their pastors. I'm in favor of that. I know that sounds crazy, but if a pastor is just simply saying, I'm going to refuse to close my church, I'm going to refuse to go online for a few weeks, I'm going to have people gathering during a time of pandemic when they might result in thousands of people being infected, and I'm going to basically give my middle finger to the state, well, I'll tell you what, at that point, yes, I believe the church, the state has the authority to arrest the pastor, if that's the structure of the laws, temporarily fine him, certainly, and close the doors of that church temporarily. It's when de Blasio said he would permanently close churches that he, of course, fed into the violent dreams and visions of every insurgent, every religious extremist, and every overheated imagination like Rodney Howard Brown's. Okay, let's keep going. During this time, we're also seeing a trend of attacking Christians, mainly evangelicals, because it is assumed that evangelicals are anti-science. Now, where this comes from is some of the evangelicals around Donald Trump seeing the coronavirus in its early days as sort of hyped up and political, and urging the president not to respond as quickly as he might have. And there's no question he mishandled, certainly in the early days. Now, he did some things earlier than other nations, and that saved us in some situations. But he was slow, and the response has certainly been bumbling. And we, of course, as I've already said in this podcast, we realize that we have outsourced far too much, and therefore our resources are short. Nevertheless, the fact is that a great many people, including an author by the name of Catherine Stewart, who's written a book called Power Worshippers, there's a strong accusation that she echoes that somehow evangelicals are anti-science, and therefore the evangelicals around Trump urged him against the Council of Science, thus making the situation worse. Now, I have said many times on this podcast that some of the evangelicals around Trump do not serve us well, and I speak as an evangelical. I'm an evangelical I trust without a brain bypass. I believe that some of them are unwise. I do not have much respect for Jerry Falwell Jr. He himself says that he's not a religious figure, that he's basically the president of a university at the most natural and business level. I couldn't agree more. He very much said in the early days, I watched the interviews where he did it, talked about this being a conspiracy of the left, talked about it being overinflated, etc. He was wrong, and he should have kept his mouth shut. He did not know what he was talking about. Other evangelicals around Trump have taken very much the same tactic, but the reason was not an anti-science attitude. The reason was suspicion of political motivations. And when you have folks on the left who want to take advantage of every single crisis to advance their agenda, you're going to have folks on the right who are suspicious. And some of those folks, evangelicals in particular, should have been wiser and more godly and not just urged a reactionary kind of approach, which did not serve our nation well. The fact is in history that Christians have been some of the folks who have most strongly and passionately endorsed scientific investigation. I know there have been periods of time in church history when the scientists were persecuted and Galileo was imprisoned and things of that nature. Nevertheless, Christians believe that a God created a stable universe which runs according to certain principles and laws. Christians also believe it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out, meaning that there are things hidden in the universe that it's our calling and our destiny and our purpose to search out and to learn. So scientific investigation from a Christian perspective is simply investigating and discovering and learning to operate with the principles of God. Any great scientific discovery is the discovery, from our perspective, of something that's already been put there, something that God ordained, something that God created. So we're not anti-science, we're pro-science. And what some of the evangelicals around Trump did was not anti-science. Again, even they, some of them are misguided, but even they are not anti-science. What they are suspicious of is a political agenda. And there's some good fodder for that, but they were unwise in what they were saying. So we've got threats of persecution. We've got allegations that Christians have made this worse because they're anti-science. And we've had some serious misbehavior on the part of religious leaders and politicians both. But I want to close by saying this. We have to be very careful who we blame for anything this serious. Throughout history, great persecutions, pogroms, every kind of ethnic cleansing has occurred when there was some crisis in a society, economic or otherwise, and it was blamed on a certain class of people. The entire anti-Semitism of the Nazis began in essentially blaming the Jews for the economic devastations of Germany after World War I. That's where it began. Now, it became something else. It became an allegation that they were an inferior class and vermin, etc. And you know how I feel about allegations like that on this podcast, mentioning Jews and mentioning my Jewish friends and being a buddy of Rabbi Daniel Lapin and others. I mean, I just as opposite of anti-Semitism as I can be, as pro-Israel as I can be. Nevertheless, we need to learn lessons from history. We need to know that when a class is accused of being the cause of great devastation and death, great suffering, that's when immorality occurs. That's when bloodshed occurs. And some of these people need to be careful because they are actually blaming Christians for the deaths. There are things actually online, tweets I see, postings I see, that actually blame evangelicals for the deaths that are happening now. It could not be less true. And by the way, I would say to the Catherine Stewarts and others of the world, you know, every group of people, every class of people has its oddballs and its extremists. Catherine Stewart is a journalist. Well, you know what? I mean, probably somewhere today, some journalist is in prison for committing murder. Some journalist has abused a child. Some journalist has committed a crime. Some journalist has done something immoral. Some journalist is a drunk and an alcoholic. She wouldn't want me lambasting her entire profession based on what those few outliers did. She shouldn't do the same based on what a few evangelicals did. For the most part, by the way, evangelicals are out there making a difference, trying to figure out how to help. You watch. When churches can meet again, it'll be the churches, church vans, church people, church programs, church daycare, church outreaches, church feeding programs, church social care that is helping to heal the society. That's the way it is after storms. It's the way it is after hurricanes, floods, tornadoes. It's what we constantly see. So be careful about lambasting a people who do good in society based on a few outliers. I think Rodney Howard Brown is as weird as you do. I think that some of the evangelicals around Trump are as misguided as you do. And I'm an evangelical. All right. Let's get some calm. Let's get a grip. Let's stop accusing each other. And my fellow evangelicals, if I may speak over the heads of the rest of you who are listening to this podcast for a moment, behave yourself. Do the good you're meant to do. Serve your God. Prove yourself to society. Don't be making crazy statements. Do oppose those politicians who way overstep their authority, like de Blasio. And don't make outlandish claims about politics that you can't support. Because people are watching, and it will affect lives.
Stephen Mansfield is a New York Times best-selling author, a popular speaker, and a frequent faith and culture commentator on Fox and CNN. His groundbreaking books on faith and society include The Faith of George W. Bush, The Search for God in Guinness, Mansfield's Book of Manly Men, and Lincoln's Battle with God. Learn more at StephenMansfield.tv.